Got a piece of paper, and if you need a pen, might have to share, but there's some floating around. And if you haven't had a chance yet, I actually want to take a few moments at the end of the service today to just bring these to the Lord. Like I'd like you to be able to write down things you're thankful for just in your life. And I'll give you the opportunity either to leave them here or to take them with you. It's no one else needs to read it. But it's just, I would like you to be able to examine your heart and be able to say, what am I thankful for? And just give that as an offering to the Lord. And so we're going to take a few moments at the end. I'll give you a minute or two at the end to fill those out. But I just want you, again, to have that in the back of your mind, because I really believe it is important that just with all of our heart that we can be thankful and not just the, you know, surface level, like, yep, thank you, Jesus, for a wonderful day. And that's all good. But, like, what are you really thankful for? And so this morning, the last, whatever it's been, 6 weeks, I think, we've been talking about the church, kind of going through a series of why we belong to the church, what it means to be a part of a church, who is the church, right? The church is not a building. It is us, right? And we are called to worship the Lord, to minister to him, because he has called us a royal priesthood. And so we're called to minister to the Lord as a church body. We are the bride of Christ. And we're also called to minister to one another, to use the gifts, the abilities, the things that he's given us to bring him glory, but to help others to draw closer to him. Amen? And then the last few weeks, we talked about how as a church, we are called to be generous people, and we're called to give, to tithe. And that is really a test of our ability to trust the Lord. And so tithing is like a litmus test for our heart. And I mentioned last week how, you know, if God can trust us with our money, he can trust us with anything. And I really believe that is, you know, money is talked about more than anything else in the Bible, I believe. And it's because Jesus knew it would be a trap for us. It would be a snare. And again, it's something that we have to understand. We have to get that mentality that it's actually none of it's mine anyway. God has given me the ability to breathe. He's given me the ability to create, have a job, to make money, and it all belongs to him. And so part of it is just giving back. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to any of those messages, I hope you can just catch them online sometime, because I think they're good, and I think they're important. and I think it's something that we need to remind ourselves of, because especially, you know, we go into the Christmas season and different things, we can get really worked up about our finances and about not having enough and lack and all those types of things. And we need to remind ourselves, this is what it's about. And so, anyway, if you haven't had a chance, check it out. I really believe it's important. But today, I know it's not really a creative topic, but I do want to talk about being thankful. It's thankfulness on Thanksgiving, all right? And so I just want to encourage you this morning, again, all through the message, just begin to think about, God, what am I really thankful for in my life? What do I have to be thankful for? And 1 Corinthians 16:34 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. You know, David understood being thankful. In fact, it says a few times in the Bible that he actually appointed people to be full-time thankers, which sounds kind of crazy, but it was part of their culture. He actually had people full-time giving thanks. And I was thinking about that this week, and I was like, what would that be like if we like had like a reminder on our phone, you know? Because that's basically what they had. They would stop and worship throughout the day. I think it was 7 times a day, actually. They're like, didn't matter if it was Super Bowl or Game 7 or whatever, it was like, we're stopping to seek the Lord. And they would also stop, I think it was 3 times a day, and pray. And but he had people hired. Actually, it was their job to give thanks. Can you imagine just reminding yourself to give thanks when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it, like continuously throughout the day? Well, how that would change your attitude and your approach to life. And so anyway, it's something the Bible tells us to do. Ephesians chapter 5, there's chunks of scripture we see in the New Testament as well where we have these commands. Paul is telling us, this is how you should live. Ephesians 5, verse 1. You can throw that one up there. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. And there's a lot of times you'll see this. Be thankful. Pray, be thankful. Give thanks. And there's this, it's this attitude that comes with just being grateful for what you have, for what God has done, and what he's about to do in your life. In fact, one of the words for praise in the Bible, when you read it, it actually, It describes being thankful for what God is going to do before he actually does it. So it's engaging your faith that he's actually going to move on your behalf before he even does it. And of course, when we read the Psalms, we just see the word praise. We don't understand sometimes what is actually being connotated there, but that sometimes is what they're saying is, I'm thanking God, I'm praising him for what he's going to do before he even does it in faith. Amen? All right. So as I was praying this week, one of the stories that really popped in my mind when I think about thankfulness is the story out of Luke chapter 17. So we're going to start there and read through it and just talk about a few other things about thankfulness. But here Jesus encounters 10 lepers. And again, there's a lot of little cultural things you can read into. I'm not going to spend a bunch of time going into that today, but it's, in their culture, if you had some kind of sickness, especially leprosy, that was anything they deemed contagious, you were pushed out of society, basically. You had to remain at a distance, and you couldn't come close. And so it says this, as Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 lepers, again, stood at a distance. There was a reason for that. They crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them, and he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And the reason he did this is because I think some of us can actually relate to this because of the COVID season we went to, but when you had leprosy or anything like that, you were removed. You couldn't worship with people. You couldn't do life with your friends. You were continually isolated, and it would have been a horrible, horrible way to live, all right? Because you literally were looked down on because you're sick. There's something wrong with you. And as I read this, I kind of reflected back on how some people felt in COVID. I think we can relate to this a bit. We couldn't be around some of the people we wanted to be. We had to be removed. And the first thing he does is say, go show yourself to the priest, because what happened is the priest would declare you clean, and then you were welcomed back into the community. So as soon as the priest said you were clean, you could worship the Lord at the temple, you could go to your family, you could go back to your job, whatever, because you were welcomed back. Make sense? And so this is why they're excited. They're like, we're out of here. This is what they're longing for. And so as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, only one, but one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Again, you can look at more insight into this story, but I mean, a Samaritan was considered a pagan or a heathen. Jews didn't like him, all right? For Jesus to heal someone that was, and even pay attention to someone that was considered unclean and a Samaritan, was a big deal. It would have been shocking to those around him. But Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. And it's an amazing story to see the importance in the heart of what happens when we can actually carry a thankful attitude. And what happens when we learn to worship God, give him thanks for what he's done in our life. So when you actually look at the wording here, Jesus said, didn't I heal 10 men? 10 people were healed, but one was actually, the wording there, your faith has healed you, that word is actually sozo, which means made whole, saved. That's the word for salvation. And so 10 were healed, but one was completely made whole. And it came out of that being thankful and that attitude of recognizing Jesus for who he is. The Son of God, your Savior, your Deliverer, your hope. Amen? I don't know if you remember this or if you're a parent right now or a grandparent, you probably understand this very well, but there's two things we're taught or that we teach our kids and grandkids all the time. And it's to say please and to say thank you. Many times we forget to say thanks, don't we? And even as adults, we forget to just have gratitude. We forget to express to others, like, thank you for doing that for me. Thank you for actually taking the time to help or to step in or whatever it might be when we see. And it actually makes a difference. It's an important thing. And we joke about it. We teach our kids. But sometimes we forget that I need to be thankful, too, even in the small things. And I need to recognize people around me for what they do. Your spouse, you need to thank them for the things that they do. And, I've tried hard to actually put this in practice the last few years where when I go to pray, I actually thank you, God, for my wife. And even if we've had a disagreement that day, I mean, it never happens with us. We're perfect. And it never happens with you either, I know. But when you've had a disagreement with your spouse, to be able to go and pray and say, Jesus, thank you for my spouse. Thank you for who they are. Thank you for what they do. And then, of course, you need to express that to them too. Don't just keep it a secret. But thank them. And, my wife, was it 2 days, whatever, yesterday, she gave me a letter, okay, which is just not something she normally does, but she wrote out a letter actually and said thank you for several things, and it really hit me. And you know, to even know, and it's simple things that I know I do, but to hear her in that say thank you, it does something. And so to even in places where you work, your kids, your people you're around, be thankful and express it to them because it makes an impact. Amen? I hope you're convinced. These 10 people were basically outcasts. They were basically shunned. They were looked down on because of their illness. This man, because he was a Samaritan as well, even worse. And yet something changed in him where Jesus goes, you know, 9 are healed, but because of your faith, to come back and recognize what's happened, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you whole. And there's something I really want to, I hope you understand that thankfulness and faith are tied together. There's something about even being able to give thanks to the Lord because of what he's done, what he's about to do. It engages your trust in him. Amen? You know, the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That all his promises are yes and amen. But do we always believe it? And by being thankful, by actually fixing our eyes on him, it means I trust in you, God, more than I trust in myself. I trust in his ways. I trust that he's going to come through. I'm thankful. And part of that is we begin to remind ourselves of what he's done in the past. We remind ourselves of the times he's come through. He's provided. He's protected. He's healed. He's set us free. He's worked things out for us that we knew it was God. And then when we remind ourselves of that, it helps us to go in faith and say, I know you're going to do it again. It's who you are. It's what you do. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Part of the way, I believe that it's like a protocol for the Lord, part of the way we approach him is by giving thanks. Just like you would come to royalty, all right? It's not a look at how good and big I am. Look what I deserve. I'm entitled. It's God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for being amazing. Thank you for your provision. Thanks for all that you do for me. Again, it's part of the way that we approach him. It's an attitude that it's required. It's like a protocol that he lays out. And so, anyway, as I look at this story, I just think that it is so important that we understand that our heart changes when we begin to give thanks. Jesus made a distinction between the 9 others that were healed, and they were healed, and this one that came back and was completely made whole. And he attributes it to him giving thanks and recognizing who Jesus was. Do you get that? All right. I think that part of our struggle, too, is we need to remind ourselves of Romans 8:28. And it says, he causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Do you believe that God can make all things work out for good? Sometimes it doesn't feel like it when things are going bad. Anybody can relate? When everything's going good, it's easy to be like, yeah, thank you, God. Things are awesome. My kids are being great this week. Thank you, God. Thank you for my kids. That's easy to say. And then when they're being little punks, you know, sometimes you're like, ugh. But, you know, and there will be times where we struggle and we wrestle with things. We go through disappointments, we go through, you know, and we need to remind ourselves that no, this is who I know. This is who I serve. This is who is part of my life. He makes all things, not just a couple things, not just once in a while when he's in a good mood, but this is who he is. He has my back, he's with me. And it doesn't mean that I will never walk through a storm. It doesn't mean that I never will walk through challenges and trials, right? But I know that he's with me through it. And I know that he can turn things to good even though there's pain in the midst of it. I listened to a podcast this last week, it was Bill Johnson, I think, and he was talking about thankfulness, and a couple things he said just hammered me. And he talked about how, you know, our life sometimes can be like, you know, a master chef, how they can take like a bunch of ingredients and they just throw whatever together and they can make food taste amazing. And, you know, probably some of you know someone that I know you try and get a recipe from some people and they're like, well, I throw a little of this in and I throw a little of that in and, you know, whatever was in the fridge and you're like, how does it taste that good? You know, my mom, I remember my wife trying to get my mom's lasagna recipe and she was like, well, I just put a little of this, a little of that, you know, and it comes out and it tastes amazing. It's like what God does in our life. You know, he takes different aspects, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it, and is able to create something beautiful by how we walk with him. And he is able to guide us and bring us through when we trust in him in every way. Amen? And so we have so much to be thankful for, and yet there's often areas in our life that I can say, I'm thankful for this over here. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for this. But there's this stuff over here that I really wrestle with. And this is one thing he said that stood out to me. He said, the absence of thankfulness is actually self-trust. It's the absence of thankfulness is self-trust. And he went on to say, thankfulness is one of the most profound weapons in our arsenal as children of God. And I really do believe that because worship opens the door. And so thankfulness, I really believe, is the beginning of worship. Being able to just begin to give thanks to God. And it begins to get your heart in that mode where, God, I am thankful for you. And then you begin to praise him and worship him. And so, we look at these areas in our life that we're frustrated with that aren't going the way we think they should or we want or relationships or whatever it might be. And what's easy to do is say, well, the enemy did that. Or we begin to justify or we look for God to vindicate us in those areas, right? Like, well, that's just that for that reason and we'll see what happens. But we actually have a hard time giving thanks to God for those struggles that we face or the areas that we come short for our disappointments sometimes. You know what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18? It says, in everything or in every circumstance, be thankful. Not in some, not when you're in a good mood, not when it's going great, but in everything, in every circumstance. God doesn't say just do your best. Give thanks. Bill went on, he mentioned this later, and this is the other thing I wrote down. He said, any area of my life I'm unwilling to or unable to give thanks for will have a measure of influence and control over my life, and not in a good way. It'll have a voice where it shouldn't have a voice. And I thought that really made sense to me. You know, any area of my life that I'm not really willing to give thanks for, it's an area that I still feel I have to control. And I'm not trusting God to look after. So if there's things, problems, challenges that you're still facing, can you bury that in thankfulness? This spoke to me this week anyway. And I just felt like, yeah, God, there's things that I look back at whether in my life right now or in the past, relationships, people that I've been really upset with. God, can I give thanks for the way that they treated me, even though it was terrible? And I'll be honest, it's a lot harder than you think if you really, truly want it. Like, God, I'm thankful for that trial I went through. That's not fun. I've actually been wrestling with this the last few days because I feel like the Lord spoke to me. He was like, you need to do this. You need to be thankful for everything I brought you through. Lord, that season wasn't fun. I think about my dad the last few years and I go, Lord, I didn't want that. But can I be thankful in the many ways that he provided, the many ways that he proved himself to still be there walking with us through the storm? Can I be thankful for that? Can I be thankful for the people that have come alongside and helped in so many ways? Because otherwise I feel like I want to control. And I need to be able to say, thank you, God. Thank you that you're still moving. Thank you that you're still here. Thank you that you're not giving up on me. Thank you that you never left, even though sometimes we go through a desert experience where we feel very alone. Thank you, God. And it's easy to say, well, I wish this and I wish that. Like I wish my dad's been fully healed. Yeah, I do. And I still pray for him to be fully healed. But I'm thankful he's alive. And you can use whatever example in your life. I wish this, well, look at that. It could be this much better. Yeah, it could be, but look what you have. And so are you willing to thank him even for the trials? I don't thank God for evil that I see in the world or in my life. I don't believe we're called to do that. But I'm thankful that, again, that like it says in Romans, that he is able to work all things out for good. There will be people that because of the crisis that we go through at times that will turn their hearts to God that they never otherwise would have. There will be people that will repent because of things sometimes that happen. And I don't believe that God brings a lot of those things on us. But he uses those moments to turn for good, to change our heart, to help us to recognize, I need God. I need a Savior. I can't do this on my own. And so I give thanks for the, again, the challenges at times that we face, because it is a time that refines and changes my heart. As much as it sucks to go through the fire, and I really think it's important to understand, it is, there's a difference between being glad and being thankful. We don't have to be happy that something happened, but we can still be thankful for what God is doing in the midst of it. You can lose your spouse, you don't have to be happy about that, but you can be thankful about the way that God worked and moved and you know, in all the whole season of what that journey that you walk through in losing someone, there's a difference. James 1 says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. What? For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. We skip over verses like that a lot. It's like, whoop, next. But a lot of things we have to go through are, many things happen because there's enough force or enough pressure or enough pain that causes us to change, right? We don't like to change unless there is sometimes pain. And so sometimes we're going to go through trials and challenges. And we have to learn to carry a heart of thankfulness in it all, to trust that God is good and he's with us still. Psalm 100 says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. Let's read it, actually. Verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his unfailing love continues forever. This is like a simple recipe that the Bible shows us. Enter his gates. Come close to him with thanksgiving. What has God done in your life? What have you seen him do in your life? How have you seen him set you free, forgive you, draw you close? What are the things that you've seen him move? Have you seen him heal? Have you seen him protect? Those kind of things. Can you give thanks for that? Because that's the gateway into his presence. Remember, the goal, the heart that God has for us is to abide, is to be close, to have intimacy, right? Right? We're called to walk with him, to know him personally. And so the goal, his heart, is that we come close. Well, one of the things that he shows us, I think, really clearly in scripture is be thankful. It's like, if you want to have protocol for approaching royalty or a king, it's like one of the things here is God is like, be thankful. Come to me with thankfulness. And we'll enter in, we'll come close, we'll draw near. There's an invitation to know God more, and it starts with being thankful. Moses said, let me know your ways that I might know you. And I really believe that as we begin to give thanks for what God has done, it brings that opportunity that for, it's like there's an invitation for us to come near and get to know him more, more personally, more about his nature, more about who he is, his character. And so when we begin to give thanks, we begin to look at him and remind ourselves of his faithfulness and his promises and the things that he's done that we read in his word, and it helps us draw close. It helps us to have a greater revelation of who God is. That's good, Paul. I think that being thankful, again, thankfulness is a recognition of the things that God has done. It's looking at his works. It's looking at the acts, the things that God has done. Praise is beginning to give thanks or to exalt who God is, his nature. But thankfulness is recognizing this is what the Lord has done. And so thankfulness leads to praise, which leads us again to an encounter with God as we begin to press in and worship him. It's what we're made for. It's what we're designed for. And that's the place where we thrive, is in his presence. And it, you know, it doesn't matter what circumstance you're in. You can be in a mess and still be thankful and still worship the Lord. Paul and Silas were in jail. Some of us are in an emotional prison today, all right? We have things, we've done things, we're in relational messes, whatever, that we're struggling with, and we can still give thanks in the midst of that. We can still worship the Lord in the midst of our trials, the midst of our challenges. And one thing I'll just mention, one last thing from that podcast to Bill, it really stood out to me. He said, Moses went up on the mountain face to face with God. He comes down with a direction. And that was, again, to build a temple. And God has shown him what to build. And he comes down and sees Israel playing the harlot in the midst of all their sin, right? But they began to worship other things. And so Moses has this challenge of doing, you know, restoring order and bringing repentance with the people. And then he goes to build what he was called to build. And he built according to what he saw on the mountain. He built according to what God had given him to do. And this is what Bill said that really stood out to me. Many believers catch a vision on the mountain and lose sight of it in the midst of a problem. And I felt like that hit me like a ton of bricks, because I think at times I get distracted by the mess or the struggles or the challenges or frustrations that I face, and I forget, no, this is what God has said to do. This is what God has called me to do. I can get really frustrated with, say, how my kids act out and forget that, no, I'm called to be the dad and to show them what it means to follow God. And I can be frustrated with whatever is going on in life, and I can forget, no, this is what God has actually called me to do. And we can lose sight of who we are and what he's, the mission or the call that he has for your life, because if we run into challenges. The reality is, there always is going to be a challenge. But we can't lose sight of what God has called us to do and to be, and that's to love others, to draw close to him, to care for our neighbor, and the different specific things that he has for you. Amen? But we get so easily caught up in the mess or the storm that we're facing today that we can lose sight of that. And thankfulness helps us draw back to the Lord. And again, being thankful, it reminds me. It reminds me of what God has done. I'm thankful for the many, many, many times I've seen him heal my body or other people when I've prayed. And so I can look at something like, again, my dad as an example, and say, God, why not fully heal him yet? What's going on? But then I can remind myself of the times I've seen. I mean, I prayed for a lady and her spine was a C shape and it went straight. I remind myself of the times where, like, when I burnt my hand on a stove and the coil burner was completely burned in there badly, and I had my hand in ice water, and we prayed simply, Jesus help, and my hand came out like this. And I can remind myself and I can be thankful that God is here, and I trust him that he is going to work in my dad. And it's because, again, of being able to draw on that. And I just trust the Lord with that. And again, that's why we need to be thankful. I want to point out a couple things, areas where Jesus was thankful, and I think it's really important. In John chapter 6, and I'm not going to read the whole story, but Jesus multiplied some bread and fish for 5,000 people. Have you ever noticed what he did first? He gave thanks. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. And afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. We have this habit where we give thanks for the food, but it actually comes from something, right? Where we learn to trust God with all that we have. It's interesting that Jesus, in a moment of lack, took and held what was not enough and said, thank you. And begin to give it out. Some of us need to take the areas in our life where we're feeling like we do not have enough and begin to say, thank you, God, I'm going to go for this, because I know you will provide. The Bible says that Jesus always did what he saw the Father doing. And again, Jesus gave thanks. And it's an invitation for us to remind us that in lack, we need to give thanks and trust that he will provide. He is able. Another time that Jesus gave thanks, we read this all the time when we take communion, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I pass on you what I received from the Lord himself on the night when he was betrayed. Which night was it? The night he was betrayed. The Lord Jesus took some bread, and what did he do? He gave thanks to God for it. And he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. You know, Jesus is about to be betrayed, and he gave thanks. Thankfulness. In John chapter 6, again with him feeding the 5,000, it was a situation of extreme lack, and he turned it into an extreme abundance where there was leftovers. In this moment, Jesus knows he's about to be betrayed. In fact, he has spent a little over 3 years with these 12 people And he's poured into them. And they would have been good friends. And he knows that one of them is about to sell him out for a few pieces of silver. And yet he still takes bread and gives thanks. How many of you have ever been betrayed before? How many have been able to, in that moment, say, God, I thank you that you're with me. I thank you that you'll never leave me. I thank you even for the other person. They're an enemy right now by the way they're acting. But God, thank you for them and thank you for your love for them. And thank you, God, for what you're going to do in my heart in the midst of this betrayal. That's not easy to do. There's something about giving thanks that actually, it's like it sanitizes our heart. It doesn't give room for offense and bitterness and anger and those things to stay there. And so deliberate acts of thanksgiving, it delivers us from those attitudes. You know, one of the biggest thing is that really holds us back from maturing is things like offense, unforgiveness, bitterness, and even the disappointments we have in life. Can you give thanks in those areas? Can you give thanks to God so that you don't hold on to that stuff? We all have areas that we're not happy with. I guarantee it. There's an area of your life that you're frustrated with. You think, I can do better. But can you give that to God and be thankful? Can you trust him with it? Can you trust him with that relationship at work? Can you trust him with your spouse? Can you trust him with your kids? Can you give thanks that he is here, that he is able, that he's walking with you, that he can turn all things to good? So just as I close, Lord, I want your heart towards my life. I don't want to have anything that I hold back from you because I trust in myself to take care of that area better than I trust in you. And Lord, I'm thankful for even though I do sometimes walk through trials and challenges and frustrations, God, help me to be thankful that you're going to work this out somehow. That what the enemy means for harm, that you're turning to good. And it might mean that, yeah, there's detours of where I thought I was headed or doing today. That might mean that there's times and seasons where people let us down, that we're betrayed and it hurts. But God, I thank you that in all of this, I'm going to come out the other side looking and being more like you as I trust in you and lay my life down before you. And so, guys, we have to give thanks, not when we feel like it and not wait till we're in the mood, but we need to carry a thankful heart every day. It's what protects us. It's what keeps us focusing on the Lord. It allows us to enter into his presence. It keeps us from being entitled, and it keeps us from being angry and bitter. Next time you're going to get in a fight with somebody, just start to be thankful for them. I know it's hard in the moment when you're mad. Next time you're looking at your spouse and you want to give them one of these or whatever, just be like, I'm going to stop and be thankful for you first. And watch how the fight ends. We have to be intentional. We have to be deliberate with this. This is not, I don't think, something that necessarily comes real natural all the time until you actually start to put it into practice. Next time your kids are ticking you off, there you go. Lord, why am I thankful for this kid? And then before you yell at them or discipline them, Lord, give me your heart for them. In fact, show me the root of this issue that's causing them to act out like this. And then watch how your parenting changes. Some days I win at that, some days I don't, I'll be honest. But I'm trying. I'm trying to learn. So I want to close, and I want to just take a few minutes. And you got that piece of paper, I hope everybody got one. I think this can be a powerful exercise to actually look at your life, and I don't mean just the rosy, easy stuff, but the areas of your life right now that you go, this is hard. Or I have unforgiveness and bitterness in this area with this person. Can you be thankful for them? Can you actually take a few minutes before the Lord and say, God, I'm thankful for that person because you love them and you created them. And they may have hurt me terribly, but I'm thankful, God, that you're going to help me walk through this and come out the other side more like you. Because again, that's the goal, isn't it? To draw us close to him, to become more like him. That means I have to be able to let go of some stuff. I have to be able to trust him with some stuff. And Lord, this area at work or this area with, you know, with my kids, whatever it is, God, I'm going to trust you in this, even though this hurts and this is hard. Because you're able to turn this around. Turn all things for good. Do you believe him? So Lord, I just pray for each one of us. I pray that we could be thankful. I pray that we won't just do the surface level, yeah, I'm thankful, life is good, I'm gonna eat today, there's turkey waiting. But that we'd be able to go there in our heart with the places that we struggle, and that we could learn to be thankful even in the trials that we face, the shortcomings, the challenges, the relationships that struggle, the areas where we have not enough. I pray that we can be thankful in lack, because we know that you're our provider and we don't have to stay in lack. And I'm thankful, God, that in areas where people have betrayed us and hurt us deeply, that we can say, thank you, God, that you're with me. You'll never leave me. You'll never abandon me. And thank you, God, that as much as this hurts right now, I'm going to come through this. And Lord, you're going to help my heart. You're going to form me and shape me into the person I'm called to be. And Lord, that as people even do things to me that I shouldn't have had done, God, that as I trust you with my life, as I surrender to you, you're going to take me and form me into the person you've created me to be. I'm going to become more like you every day. And Jesus, in the face of people betraying you and hating you, you still loved. You still had grace. So God, I pray that you'd go deep in our hearts. In Jesus' name. I just want to encourage you to take a few minutes and just have a conversation with the Lord. Write down some of these areas that you're struggling with. And I would even invite you to come and stand up here and just take a few minutes, like an act of offering. And I just invite you guys to kill the live stream. So you don't want to be on camera. You don't have to be. But just to be able to be free to come. And there's something about just coming before the Lord. It's not that, you know, it doesn't stroke my ego or anything. But I want you to come, be able to come before the Lord and just say, God, I give you this stuff.